We're going to talk a little bit about high society. There's been a lot of recent surveys lately, one from University of Michigan. It's basically saying more and more people over the age of 50, our retirees, our senior citizens, are using marijuana at a clip that is not previously been seen. It's quite a startling statistic. Not that it matters. Maybe they're trying to relive some Woodstock. Maybe they're just trying to get to sleep or get rid of some of those aches and pains. I don't know. Is this really accurate? The best guy to answer that question is an advocate for the marijuana industry. He's the host of a TV show and a podcast called Weed and Whiskey. And he goes by J-Man. Welcome to the show, J-Man.
Thanks, Chris, for having me on. You know, these seniors creating a new buzz at bingo, it seems.
Yeah, I suppose so. That's a good way to put it. I mean, how many of them are getting high on a daily basis?
Well, I think there's two things that are attributing to these increasing numbers. One, more and more people's acceptance. 70 to 80% of Americans believe that adult use cannabis should be legal, which it has been for quite some time there in Michigan. I think 2018 is when you guys went to being medicinal and recreational. So I think people are more open about saying, well, I've been doing it. I just didn't want to tell anybody, like I did for 44 years. I didn't want anybody to know I used cannabis on a daily basis. And I became open about it. Now I got a fledgling TV network. How about that? But I think they're open about it, and they're using this. And I don't think as much of it is they're smoking joints or bongs. I think they're eating gummies and drinking weed.
How do you drink weed, J-Man?
Well, I tried, Chris. I couldn't get that can to light up. But all over the country, due to the 2018 Farm Bill, there's an emergence of these THC, low-dose THC seltzers or tonics or drinks or beverages. There's one called Buzz Me Up. It's going into every store here in Texas. Every time you go in, they got a big pink display, Buzz Me Up. It's a low dose, and so it's like drinking a beer. And the benefit for people is you feel the effect of the cannabis quicker than when you eat a gummy. A gummy could take 30 to 45 minutes, where in 5 to 10 minutes, this is starting to kick in just like a beer would.
Yeah, there's a lot of evolution going on in that part of the industry. And as a non-marijuana guy, on the lives of my children, I swear, I'm just a non-marijuana guy. It's never been something I was interested in or worked for me. But I have so many people, J-Man, in my life, especially in the 50 and up, that were kind of closet marijuana, even really intellectual types, that were closet marijuana smokers that have now moved on to gummies and ointments and oils and all kinds of things. And a great many of them, they'll say things like their arthritis is unbelievably better than it was. Their sleep patterns are significantly better than they were. Anxiety levels, so on and so forth. So when you made a very valid point that it's not just about the person smoking a joint. What are the most effective new ways that you have seen the industry kind of open itself up more to medicinal use, and people are finding value in that versus just the recreational kind of get myself in a dreamy state?
Yeah, that's you know, the thing with these gummies. I'm very fortunate. I get to hang out from time to time down in Willie Nelson's backyard down in Spicewood. And I was with Turk Pipkin recently, and he said, you know, J-Man, we're not smoking nearly as much. Willie doesn't even smoke anymore, but he does edibles to regulate his endocannabinoid system. All mammals have a thing called an endocannabinoid system, and both CBD and THC, this is where that's regulated in your body. So somebody that uses it on a daily basis like me, it takes more of this stuff to get the feeling of that. Somebody that doesn't use it, like my wife, she never smoked a joint in her life, but she's now eating a half a gummy to help her go to sleep and sleep through the night. You know, my 85-year-old mother, we smuggle out of Colorado illegally this THC cream. It's a topical. She doesn't get any psychotropic effect. She gets relief from her plantar fasciitis. So I think that we need to be open to how these things can benefit and help people, but use this stuff in moderation. We don't want a bunch of zong people out there, whether it's on booze or Xanax or Adderall or weed, right?
So yeah, two follow-up questions on that. I'm not sure the word you use, maybe a psychotropic. Is that the mental effect of kind of feeling high versus having
the buzz? That's the buzz. Yes.
That's the buzz. Okay, so if you wanted to stay away from the buzz but still have the benefits of THC in your system for aches and pains or sleep or anxiety, there's a methodology to that now, right, without getting buzzed, as you put it.
There are, Chris, I believe, because everybody's been accepting cannabis more. Laws have been loosening and changing. There's more research that's being done. So where we always thought about THC, now there's THCA, THCO, THCV. This THCV is supposed to be an appetite suppressant. I thought we smoked weed to get the munchies.
Yeah, that's. I guess that's true. I remember that from the movies back in the 90s. Hey,
most of the people are taking that as a tincture, you know, putting it under their tongue, not smoking it. So,
all right, even the most conservatives among us, I think, have started to soften to the idea that this is not nearly as harmful as a great many other things. And as those floodgates have kind of opened up, it was a lot of fanfare in the beginning, a lot of worry from one side in particular. A lot of that has dissipated. But one that hasn't, and I want to get your take on this, is when do you start to get worried as an advocate in the marijuana industry that there isn't really a quantifiable way to say if somebody is too affected by marijuana to be driving a vehicle? I mean, until that's able to be measured, are we playing with fire? I mean, people shouldn't be driving high, but clearly there's no way to actually measure that other than the eyeball test.
The common test that occurs is a urine test, which most people, this can stay from 12 to 30 days in their system. So you go to a state like Michigan and you legally partake of an adult use, come back here to Texas, you have to do a urine test, and all of a sudden you've got THC in your system, but there's no you're not high from it anymore. But as you pointed to, Chris, if somebody's driving down the road, it's exciting to see that there's been several grants in the millions of dollar range, from $1 million to $5 million, to companies for testing equipment, just like a breathalyzer would be for somebody that's under the influence of alcohol.
Do you view that, if that development continues and they're able to manufacture something that is not only measuring the level of THC, for example, in the blood or however it's done, but that it's accurate, is that a good thing as an advocate for the marijuana industry? Does that not help then quell some of the fear that might come along with it and open it up more?
I'm a big believer in that any regulated occupation, you're a pilot, you're a truck driver, you're operating heavy equipment, you ought to be held to the highest of standards, not just for marijuana, but any of the cocaines, amphetamines, and abuse of prescription drugs that may be prescribed to you. You know, we talk about this all the time, but that's a bigger problem in America, where people are abusing the prescription drugs of Adderall or Xanax, Zoloft. And so moderation and common sense, that's what we all need to get, is a good shot of common sense in today's time, I believe. But we've got to make sure that we're not penalizing people, but we're also allowing ourselves to have the protections that we need as society.
So, J-Man, last question, my friend. If I'm a 60-year-old right now and I make friends with you and we're having a beer somewhere or having a cup of coffee, and I say, look, I'm too straight-laced for this. I've never used marijuana. I'm kind of scared of the idea, but I've been having all these aches and pains and this kind of, you know, I got little tremors in my hand or whatever it might be. J-Man, tell me why I should feel safe experimenting with it, and how to start in, let's say, 30 seconds or less.
Make sure that your ailment is aligned with what the modality of ingestion is. In other words, you don't want to start somebody off on smoking a joint, especially in today's time. Some of this stuff's super potent. So start with a low-dose gummy or one of these drinks and see how it affects you. I'm really pushing these drinks because you get the effect from it very quickly, and there's not enough THC in there to zonk you out. So that's a way that you could kind of find, hey, is this for me? Because the more dose you do, the more recreational it becomes. Make sense?
Love it. All right, J-Man, thanks for the advice, my friend. Thanks for coming on the show. You sound like a happy guy, so maybe we should take at least a cue for you for this weekend. And if the Lions end up being a disaster, then a little bit of that THC might nullify the pain and suffering just a touch. Have a great weekend, my friend.
You too, Chris. Anytime. Bye-bye.